Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the PW Torch Livecast. I am Wade Keller, editor, publisher of the Pro Wrestling Torch weekly newsletter covering the inner workings of professional wrestling since 1987, back when Ronald Reagan was president of the United States and I was a high school student dabbling in wrestling journalism. Welcome to the new Wednesday midweek PW Torch Livecast. And we're on a new schedule this week. So if you're kind of confused and you hit refresh and download, trying to look up Pat McNeil's program, which has been a staple of Wednesdays for years, Pat's program is now moving to VIP exclusive. And he's going to combine the livecast format you've become familiar with his Real Deal with Pat McNeil format, which was originally, prior to the livecast, a staple of the VIP audio show lineup midweek. And we've been putting those 10 years ago audio shows up for VIP members. And I really enjoyed the format that Pat did back then. And I am looking forward to seeing what he comes up with this week when he debuts the new hybrid of features and personalities that you've become familiar with on Wednesdays, with the Hot 5 Stories of the Week, the Indie Lineup of the Week, the Mailbag, and many other fun staples of his old format, the Real Deal with Pat McNeil. So another reason to go VIP. Pat McNeil, though, will still be on this livecast lineup. He joined me last night, in fact, for the first 30 minutes of yesterday's program, analyzing SmackDown. And that is another change in the lineup. I am taking over the post-show livecasts as host. So next Monday, I'll be joining James Caldwell to review Raw as soon as Raw ends. And while James is putting the finishing touches on his Raw report, I'll introduce the show and get ready for taking your phone calls every Monday night right after Raw. No more waiting 20 minutes. We're going to start right after Raw ends. Same thing on Tuesdays. As soon as SmackDown ends, we're going live. If our switchboard is working and everything is going well, we should be live right as the show ends or within a minute. And so we can have a group discussion and vent and rave, analyze, comment, observe. So join me now every Monday night after Raw, every Tuesday night after SmackDown, with a rotation of guest co-hosts, including Pat McNeil and James Caldwell. Sometimes I might even go solo and rely on phone calls. Now, speaking of relying on phone calls, this is a new day and a new time slot. And while I spread the word on yesterday's program that we'd be moving on the SmackDown show, that we'd be moving the Tuesday show to Wednesdays, this wasn't an announcement we made 2-3 weeks ago. This wasn't a decision we made 2 or 3 weeks ago. It was in the works. I've been thinking about how to best handle the new Raw SmackDown lineup so that the Tuesday show wasn't, you know, the Tuesday show's kind of been the flagship for the livecast lineup, and it was in part because it was the day after a lot of the news happened, or 2 days after the pay-per-views. But on Tuesdays, it kind of felt like, well, we're talking about Raw, but we're in a holding pattern to see what happens on SmackDown. I didn't want the Tuesday show to become dated by the time SmackDown aired, because we're speculating about things, and then they air, and then we know the answers. So moving the Tuesday show to Wednesday made sense. It also gives me a chance to be more involved in the Raw and SmackDown post-shows. And everything else, by the way, stays the same. Pat McNeil's show is being added to the VIP lineup, but otherwise the VIP lineup is staying the same. Somebody had emailed or tweeted about, you know, when is The Fix with Todd Martin going to be on? We're still going to record that late afternoon on Wednesdays and post it Wednesday night. And I think we've done a Wednesday show. He's been on the Torch staff for 15 months, and we've done the show on Wednesday every week except once, I think. And the Bruce Mitchell Audio Show will continue to be largely a weekend staple, and there will still be the Friday livecast with Bruce and Travis, and the Saturday morning livecast with Jim Valley, Moonlighting with Greg Parks on weekends, post pay-per-view roundtables, all that good stuff. So everything else stays the same. Now, here's what I was saying a minute ago. We need phone calls because we are new this week. We have fewer calls on the switchboard than usual, no surprise. So if you are a shy caller, a hesitant participant, and you are interested in helping out and joining in conversation, let's talk about last night's SmackDown and also Monday's Raw, but even more so, look ahead to this coming weekend. It's one of the biggest, I was almost going to say non-WrestleMania weekends. I don't even know if I need to qualify it. This coming weekend is going to be one of the biggest weekends in wrestling history. If you are just sitting at home with an internet connection and cable television, and you're not leaving the house, you have so much that you can watch. Ring of Honor Friday night, Evolve Friday and Saturday night with their big shows. Cody Rhodes active on that show. Add to that the NXT TakeOver special with a pre-show. And then SummerSlam, which I think they've now made like 8 hours long with 11 matches and a long pre-show and the pay-per-view. And on top of that, you have Holy Foley debuting Sunday night. Oh, and if you're also a USC fan, there's a mega fight, Conor McGregor and Nate Diaz on Saturday night. There is so much to talk about, so give us a call. 646-721-9828. We'd love to hear from you on all of these topics. Tomorrow, Matt Morgan joins me on Interview Thursday. Matt's been a great guest on the show. He keeps up very closely on what's going on in WWE, and we'll talk to him about the roster split, how he thinks it's going, who's rising in the ranks, who has been misutilized, but not quite sure that that is actually a term. In fact, I'm pretty sure it's not. So anyway, give us a call for all of that. Now, WWE.com, WWE's website, has just announced that Alberto Del Rio has been suspended for 30 days, effective tomorrow, for his first violation of the company's wellness policy. So Alberto Del Rio suspended. I don't know if when they protected him last week against Randy Orton, they had any inclination, but having him lose to John Cena this week and then suspending him for 30 days afterwards is indicative that maybe they knew. But I mean, I wouldn't say that Del Rio losing to Cena is jumped out as an odd finish for that match. But anyway, that is some breaking news in that regard. Jason Paul will be joining me after our first commercial break. So let's go to that break. I talked about the big UFC fight this weekend. MMA Torch is full of new writers, new content, daily trivia, daily top five lists, new writers contributing their points of view on UFC and the whole world of MMA, coming from a variety of perspectives. We've got some really good new writers, some coming from actual participating in MMA training, and others just lifelong journalists, and some coming from the business world, writing about it as a business. There is every day material, content, articles that you will not find anywhere else. In fact, we just put up a 10 years ago flashback at MMATorch.com today about the new format for The Ultimate Fighter, where there was the redemption, the second chance season of The Ultimate Fighter. And we have an editorial up from 10 years ago writing about whether he thought this would work or not. Would this new format work? And instead of creating new stars, trying to bring somebody back from... Well, that's kind of the way they talk about Dolph Ziggler. You know, their career fizzled, and now they're making a comeback. So you can read that editorial every day, just about. We're putting up articles from either 5 years ago this week or 10 years ago this week. So if you're new to MMA or just like reflecting on what we were writing about at MMA Torch and putting in today's context, it's another reason to go to MMA Torch every day. We have the MMA Torch app, which is free in the App Store, so check that out. So let's go to our first break. We'll hear about MMA Torch more, and then when we come back, we'll get into our discussion on... with all this in-house notes out of the way, get into the heart of our discussion on what's going on this busy week of wrestling. We know you're a pro wrestling fan because you're listening to the PW Torch livecast. There's a good chance you're also a fan of the UFC and all of mixed martial arts. And if so, we hope you'll check out our sister website at MMATorch.com. covering the news of MMA every single day with breaking news, exclusive analysis, an array of columns, live event coverage, flashbacks, and so much more. Check it out. That's MMATorch.com or download the free MMA Torch app in the iPhone and Android app stores. That's MMATorch.com. All right, we are back live. Jason Paul, just a few minutes late joining us because he's finishing up on the NXT conference call and writing that up for his website, ProWrestling.net, Triple H, heading up the traditional pre-NXT TakeOver conference call. So I look forward to hearing from Jason about what kind of news was made by Triple H, what he had to say about this coming weekend. I thought it was intriguing that Samoa Joe dropped Brock Lesnar's name in a recent interview. I would love to see that match. I talked to Pat McNeil about that yesterday. One of the things about this new Wednesday show is that we're not just going to cover the previous night's program. Jason Paul and I, when we've done our show every Tuesday for years and then recently went to a mix of callers that we recently went to a mix of co-hosts, a rotation to different co-hosts. It's always focused primarily on Raw, but I want to talk about other things too. So this NXT TakeOver conversation will be good. We'll talk about ROH and Evolve also. One thing over at pwtorch.com right now is a story posted by James Caldwell on the Hogan versus Gawker aftermath. And there's some news this week on that, that Univision yesterday has reportedly emerged as a buyer of Gawker in this week's New York bankruptcy conference. And so that's the hope of Hogan collecting a lot of money is in part resulting. It will be part influenced on what is going on with the bankruptcy right now. Univision is having to pay about $3.5 million to Ziff Davis for their role as the stalking horse bidder. The latest court hearing is scheduled for tomorrow afternoon to finalize the sale. Once the bankruptcy is over, the legal matter shifts over to Florida court, where Gawker is appealing the $140 million judgment in favor of Hogan against the company, including a couple of the key individuals in that. So if you want more details on that situation, it's been an ongoing story for a long time. Hulk Hogan's certainly looking to refurbish his bank account and also just have punitive damages against Gawker for the little mini sex tape that they put out there. All right, if you're just joining us, because word is spreading that we're on the air live for the first time here at just past 1 p.m. Eastern on Wednesday. This is our new midweek time slot, and Jason Paul will be my co-host in just a moment as he wraps up the conference call summary for his website with Triple H. But let's take some phone calls, and let's begin with area code 305. 305, thanks for calling. Please state your name and where you're calling from.
Hey, what's going on? DJ from Miami.
Hey, DJ, good to hear from you. What's on your mind today?
I got two things. My
sure.
First thing is that I can't believe the Finn Balor thing. I mean, they popped it before, you know, SummerSlam, and I thought that was a little, you know, I don't know what WWE is thinking about that, because now it's not going to be anything special. I mean, I know it's done a couple times at NXT, but, I mean, this is going to be something special in New York, and I just don't know. Is it,
okay. Let me comment. Let me comment. I get what you're saying, Adija. Vince McMahon was concerned that Finn Balor, as he was presenting himself without the demon gimmick, was not established enough to be co-headlining SummerSlam in that title match. And so Vince McMahon, as somebody who is not immersed, like you are and many other people are, in the presentation of Finn Balor and the alter ego demon, he felt that exposing that character, presenting that character in front of 3 million people, was important to getting Finn Balor over in time to get the kind of crowd reaction that he wants Finn Balor to get on Sunday, so that it helps make him a star. From everything I'm hearing, Triple H is on your side, DJ, reluctant. A lot of people in within the company were thinking more long game. Let's protect the gimmick. Let's have it be something that when it happens, there's a storyline reason for it. And there isn't a traditional storyline reason for this happening. This isn't deep into a feud when he has to tap into his alter ego. This isn't even a particularly intense grudge between Seth. It's simply Balor won the matches he needed to become the number one contender, or the other contender to battle for the Universal Championship. So yes, I understand people who have followed the demon character disappointed. And I can see both sides of this, but Vince McMahon looks at things through the lens of not the 10% of the Raw audience who really, really know inside and out the Demon character, or the 30 or 40% maybe who have been exposed to it peripherally, he's concerned about the entire audience really being on board and excited to see that character come out on Sunday. I have mixed feelings about it, but I don't feel strongly that it's some sort of disaster. The Demon ring entrance, DJ, is fantastic to watch. It's one of my favorite ring entrances. The music, the makeup and the outfit and the way that he moves on his way to the ring, it's memorable and it really, really stands out. I don't think having it appear a little too early ruins all of that. So I guess my stance is let's not all overreact. What do you think?
Yeah, I definitely understand what you mean because it is awesome. But let me make one more comment before I go to my second question.
Sure, yeah.
My second question. Now, the demon thing, now Seth isn't scared because he's seen him before. Plus, I also think he's not scared because he, right before he did Kane, and Kane, you know, is the demon. You know what I mean? Like, it would have been different if Kane didn't, you know what I mean? And it was just one demon, and maybe he would have been more scared and more facial expressions and.
Okay.
But it just feels like, hey, you know, you're a regular guy.
Right.
You know what I mean? I don't know how you feel on that. But my second thing is the Randy Orton and the Lesnar thing. I just really hope that it's going to be disqualification. Or I really think, like you were saying, I think they should bring Goldberg in, like I was saying last week, as a referee. So it can be a no disqualification. You know what I mean? You got to do something because you're not going to get either one over. Even one's going to win, and then one's going to be hurt. One, you know what I mean? So it's like they need to do something. And I just thought they really – this is the time to do something good.
All right, so let me ask you, DJ.
Yep, somebody.
DJ, I want you to get to your point quick so we can get to other calls and other conversation. So let me interject here because I want to ask you something about this very topic. If there's going to be a decisive pin or submission in that match and there's no interference and nothing else – who do you want to win? Not personally, but who do you think it's best for business to win? And maybe those two things line
up. Randy.
That's
Randy.
What I'm wondering. Because some people think, no, you got to protect Brock Lesnar. He's a special attraction. He's a difference maker. But Randy's there every week. He's going to be on SmackDown every week. He's working the house shows. He probably, I wouldn't say he has more to lose than Lesnar losing. Because some would argue if Lesnar loses, it should be to create a new star, not just give Randy an 8% bump in how people perceive him. And so I see both sides of it, but explain why you would want Randy to win, and then we'll move on from there.
Okay. Well, the first thing, he just came back from injury, and he's looking good. He's talking like he's going back to the Viper. And I feel like for him to lose, I feel like it's just gonna hurt him. What, he's gonna just brush it off and go somewhere? You go to the next thing? No, it's gonna hurt his image, and nobody's gonna like, okay, well, that's it. What's next for him? No, if he wins, we know he's gonna go after Styles, and it's gonna be a great match because I think the Styles and him would be really great, and that's what I'm hopefully going for because I want Randy to bounce back. He's one of the best. Back then, and you know, when he was on top, he was on top. You know, he was
a great heel, DJ,
and I want him.
Yep. Appreciate it, DJ. I don't mean to interrupt you, but there's a lot of commas and not a lot of periods, so I don't know when to break in when you talk. But I appreciate your point of view, and it is a hot topic, and you make some good points as far as that goes. I believe I scrolled down our switchboard here, and I think I see Jason Powell on hold. So, Jason, is this you?
It is me. Sorry, I'm late. Wow.
Oh no! You got another job to do, and this is all different. I don't like last night. I was saying, good afternoon to callers, and I thought the sun had burned out because it was dark outside when I was doing the live cast. I'm used to sunshine and wishing people a good afternoon, and it threw me off. I can't remember the last time I did a live cast at night. So a lot of changes, but some of those being thrust upon us with the SmackDown day change and some other things going on to kind of. Create a good reason to make some changes. Well, I appreciate you on relatively short notice joining me on Wednesday instead of Tuesday. You just wrapped up listening to Triple H's conference call?
Wrapped up listening to Triple H's conference call and got the site updated with the news of Alberto Del Rio being suspended for 30 days.
Yes. I assume you have not heard anything beyond what WWE's released on Del Rio.
No, I mean, it's no secret that he and Paige have been upset that they were drafted to separate brands. You know, they've gone public with their relationship. So, I'm not saying the two are related. I'm just saying that there's been some issues there lately with Del Rio, Paige, and WWE, is my understanding. But, as far as on the actual suspension, I'm not sure.
Maybe Del Rio was so distraught from being separated from Paige that it led to him violating the policy.
I always enjoy a good conspiracy theory. Let's go with it.
I'm just saying, if you're looking for a way they are related, that doesn't involve WWE saying, he's complaining too much, so let's, you know, find some tainted urine. I don't know. Yeah. On the Del Rio topic, I've been disappointed post-roster split with some of the pushes some of the wrestlers are getting that I thought would get a better push. And I think throwing Del Rio out there on short notice against Randy, with no backstory, no promos, no heat, just to fill some TV time and give Randy a, quote, you know, worthy opponent. And same thing with John Cena this week. It just feels like they could have, and again, this is kind of obviously in retrospect with the suspension, it changes things. But in terms of what we knew at the time, it seemed like they should have been trying to do something more to heat up Del Rio. And you do get the sense that, and I have gotten the sense that management, they wanted Del Rio, and then when they got him, they had a little bit of buyer's remorse. What's your take on how they've used him post-brand split?
Okay, well, I want to go back to when they brought him in. They brought him in, people wanted to cheer him. You know, they showed the footage last night on SmackDown Live of him beating John Cena, and he was cheered in that match. People were excited about seeing him again in a WWE ring. And they blew it right there, you know, from the start. Once they got through him beating Cena, it was barely discussed until Cena came back. He was paired with Seb Coulter for that oddball thing. It's been a creative nightmare. I don't know what their philosophy was in bringing him. It was like, here you bring this guy back who's been very successful outside WWE, getting over everywhere as a babyface. The people want to cheer him in WWE, and you bring him back as a heel. As far as the brand split goes, you know, I thought he was protected last week to a degree when he faced Randy Orton, because it wasn't a clean pinfall. It was a DQ, and I thought, well, maybe they're going to, you know, do something with Del Rio here. And then this week he has the competitive match, but he loses clean to John Cena. But he also had an issue with, I can't even remember which heel it was. It was somebody backstage. It was AJ giving him the pep talk. And I thought, well, maybe they're finally going, you know, this will kind of be the trigger to turn him. But I would assume, Wade, that they, the suspension technically goes into effect tomorrow for some reason. I'm guessing they knew about this at the SmackDown taping. I don't know that for sure. I guess I'm kind of surprised, knowing the way that they operate, that if they did know at the SmackDown taping, they did as much with Del Rio as they did. I mean, you would think it would be, the match wouldn't go as long, and it would be pretty decisive, and maybe they regret it 30 days from now, but they don't tend to think like that.
Yeah, I agree. I think that we ended up without... I think it could go either way. I mean, it's not like they gave him a ton... They lit a fire under him, and he proclaimed that, I want the winner of Randy Orton, Brock Lesnar, and I want the winner of the WWE title match. And it's not like they, like, lit a fire under him, and he's like, oh, wow, now they're really pushing him. And then, oh, crap, they, you know, it's pop the balloon the next day with a suspension. But it also wasn't a burial. It was kind of in this weird middle zone. So, yeah, I mean, on a thin roster... A shallow roster, as far as SmackDown goes, they lose a major figure who can help them fill TV time, who I don't think they've been doing a great job pushing anyway. So, in that sense, at least, the fact that they did a poor job pushing him or seemed kind of reluctant to really get behind him, I guess makes his loss for the next 30 days less of a blow as they head into football season. Jason, the NXT conference call, what are one or two things that jump out to you as far as this goes? I know that you've got a report up on the site, and you'll be putting the audio up also in that regard.
Yeah, no report on the site, but the audio is up for members as we speak, and by the time people hear this, unless you're listening live, it will be up for as today's All Access podcast as well. And I thought it was interesting at the end he was asked about whether the Cruiserweight tournament is going to lead to a new Cruiserweight championship with the division going to Raw, and he just kind of said, you'll have to wait and see on that one. You know, he had some fun with that, and so I'm guessing that's the plan, and they just don't want to spoil it, but he was noncommittal on that. Made it seem like Kota Ibushi, I don't remember if he danced his way around saying whether he's signed or unsigned, but what he said as far as the Raw, as far as Raw goes and the Cruiserweight division, they want guys signed. I got him to talk a little bit more about 50-50 parity booking and why we don't see that in NXT. It's kind of the... He laughed at the idea of, you know, him creating controversy, and then he also just kind of it really is a product. It kind of like I assumed would be the answer. You know, two or three hour show compared to a 1 hour show is a completely different animal. He wasn't nearly as I don't know if confrontational is the right word. He wasn't as bitter as he came across in that ESPN interview when talking about that. Let me run through my list of topics, because he did cover some things. I asked him about the broadcast team with Corey Graves being called up to Raw and where that leaves NXT, and he said that's still being determined. And he also talked a little bit about Shawn Michaels. Basically, the door is open. There's been some talk of Shawn becoming a trainer at NXT, and he said, you know, Shawn's been around the building lately, and the door is certainly open. But he said that when anything's official, he'll be the guy basically screaming about it, because he'd be so excited to have him in an official capacity.
Well, I know Terry Taylor was doing some training in NXT, actually for a lot more than some training. He was a major part of that training process, and he underwent neck surgery. So with him being absent, recovering from the major neck surgery that he had that incapacitates him to be able to help train, I think that is why Michaels was called in to come help out a little bit. I know I talked to a couple wrestlers yesterday who were, you know, curious about what this means about Shawn's future and whether he would get more involved behind the scenes or even on camera again, if he kind of got a whiff of the wrestling, you know, the smell of the wrestling canvas and get back in that atmosphere. You know, is he missing it? Because Shawn had been so firm about, you know, when he was done, he was done. When he shows up, he doesn't miss it. He doesn't, you know, come back and go, oh, I wish I could wrestle and I want to wrestle again. Like, it just wasn't his thing. He was really happy in retirement. So I don't know if this is Triple H twisting an arm or a change in attitude in Shawn Michaels, but it is something to watch. Shawn would be a great person to help bring along some of the young wrestlers in developmental.
Jim Ross did say that Shawn, I believe, recently moved to Florida. So, it just seems like there's something cooking there.
Yeah, interesting. Yeah, so go ahead, keep going.
It was on the Shawn Michaels topic. He just said something about, you know, Shawn's personal life, and if there's something going on there, he would want to talk to Shawn. It was kind of strange that came up. I wasn't sure. It just kind of came out of left field on that. So, that covers the basics of it. I'm struggling to think if there... We had some international caller who was very hard to understand, but Triple H, I couldn't. He was from Spain, and Triple H seemed to understand. The international callers seem to like, not all of them, of course, but you'll get the one that wants to know when NXT is coming to their market and wants to know about the local guy who is a WWE developmental wrestler. That seems to be the way that goes. And if we didn't have... just two questions I would have asked him about NXT coming to Minnesota and Sean Daivari, Arya Daivari, just
yes.
to be like a member of international media.
Just continue the trend. That's funny. All right, Jason, we got a lot more to talk about with you. I want to, speaking of international callers, I believe we have one on hold. So let's go ahead and take our second call of the day. If you are in line on the phone banks, stay in line. If you are listening to the show and want to participate but have not pushed one on your Touchstone phone, please do that, because that's what moves you into the caller queue. Otherwise, we will not take your call. So if you're unfamiliar with that, you'll want to push one if you want to get in on the caller queue to join us. All right, let's go to internet call. Not sure if you hear a beep, that's you. Please state your name and where you're calling from.
Yeah, it's Justin from the UK.
Hey, Justin, thanks for calling. Good to hear from you. What have you got for Jason and me?
Oh, thank you. Yeah, just a couple of things, really. I was wondering, firstly, who do you think will go on last at SummerSlam? And secondly, do you think there'll be any interference of any sort in the Orton-Lesnar match?
Two hot topics, Jason. yeah, very good, Justin. I don't have an answer for either of them definitively. Jason, I talked yesterday with Pat on the SmackDown postgame show about the possibility of interference in Orton Lesnar, and we talked a little bit about the depth of the main events. Not so much who will go on last, but comment on that, Jason.
What was the first part? I caught the part about the interference with Orton and Lesnar.
Which match will go on last?
Oh, I do think,
Jason,
it'll be that last.
You know what you need to do, Jason? You need in your spare time to listen to people with English accents and practice hearing what they say. This has been a problem for years. You have always said that if somebody from England speaks, you can't understand them. I think you need to turn on the BBC when you're working and listen and start getting an ear for that British accent. This isn't someone calling speaking a foreign language. I think this is discriminatory and unacceptable.
I just want closed captioning, because when I watch some BBC television shows, I just turn that on, so I kind of cheat. Is there any way we could get that with Block Talk?
We can't get that with Block Talk, but it's a good way to practice, because when he says firstly, then you at the bottom of the screen, it can say for you Americans, in, you know, imagine Rusev's voice. You know, well, you Americans, that means first. Get over yourself. All right, go ahead.
Well, I do think that match is going on last, Orton and Lesnar. A Universal Championship match could, but I think unless there is going to be some sort of a disappointing finish to Orton and Lesnar, that's the match that makes the most sense, because you do have two guys from, you know, one guy from each brand. And then there's not the question of why didn't this title match go on last instead of this one? There's going to be that anyway. Why did this title match go on before that one? And people kind of trying to read into what that means. But I think that's the match that SummerSlam has been built around largely, and I think it makes the most sense. As far as interference goes, I mean, anything jumping out at you, Wade? Does Orton have any real issues with anyone where that would make sense?
Bray Wyatt, I guess that's the one,
but Brock's had issues with him, too.
Yeah, well, and that's where you could actually have, you know, Bray come out and the announcer like, what's he doing here? And then it distracts from, you know, Suplex City versus Instant, or the RKO out of nowhere. I mean, the thing is if you have interference, it taints the buildup, which is, you know, what will it be like when 15 years in the making, these two finally battle on pay-per-view, RKO versus Suplex City. But then you also have the disappointment, or you have the challenge of what finish do you do? I asked DJ, the first caller of the show, Jason, what if there was for sure going to be a clean finish, if Vince McMahon came to you and said, we want to do a clean finish, we need a tap out or a pin, no interference, no controversy, but I want to get a show of hands. Who thinks Randy should go over? Who thinks Brock should go over? Does your hand go up for Randy winning, or does your hand go up for Lesnar winning?
Oh, clearly for Brock. It's not even close for me, because they've invested a lot in Brock. There's some equity there. Randy Orton's not the guy to take that equity.
See, that's the real good counter-argument, too. Well, Randy's there every week. He's working the house shows. He's back after a long time off. You did a roster split. You need Randy strong. There is something more that you can get out of him, but losing to Brock is going to just deflate the idea that he really is an alpha on the roster. Brock can come back. If he loses, it can be part of a story that they tell. But with Randy, if he beats Lesnar, they can really turn that into something, and that makes Randy main eventing house shows or wrestling on SmackDown-only pay-per-view seem more valuable, because Brock will be gone for a while. To me, that is compelling. But I do. But the thing that you just said is the number one counter-argument. It might make sense right now this month in some ways on the draw the line down the middle of the paper, pros of Randy winning, pros of Brock winning. But if you side with Randy winning, for the reasons I said and maybe some other ones, you have to take into consideration that when you want to create a new star, when you want a Sami Zayn to score a win, a big win over Brock Lesnar down the line, if Brock's a heel and Sami's this scrappy underdog, whatever story you want to tell, pick a Shinsuke Nakamura and you want to establish him out of the gate. If Brock already lost to Randy, it doesn't mean as much. And I think that is that's probably the most compelling argument to just, you know, there's no shame in losing to Brock, but there's a big deal if Brock starts losing more than once every year or two. So save that loss for someone who will get a bigger boost than Randy.
I think the biggest disappointment, well, aside from someone interfering, for me it's going to be if it's as simple as Brock Lesnar wins by submission with the Kimura, because they've gone out of their way too much to emphasize Randy's shoulder injury, and they didn't do it last night. But, I mean, he was selling that shoulder like he'd been shot for The Miz. You know, and I hate to say it like that, but I mean, Miz has been kind of portrayed as the Hollywood A-lister. I was hoping they'd kind of move away from that. It's entertaining, but I'd like to see them get a little more serious with Miz than they do. But it, I mean, the fact that he's overselling the shoulder as much as he had Del Rio, he did the same thing against him. It just seems like they're foreshadowing too much. And I know the counter to this is basically the suspicion that, well, WWE can't suspend Brock Lesnar. They may punish him for what happened in UFC. And I'll be surprised. I mean, I just don't see that happening. I think it would be foolish. I mean, you can say Brock deserves to be punished for this, and you know, he still gets to, I mean, John Jones is going through his situation with UFC now and claiming that it might be a tainted supplement that he took that he didn't report or something like that. And if he gets, I would think that if that works out for him, Brock is probably going to try to make a similar claim. But you know, I, as much as I feel like WWE looks horrible for not suspending Brock Lesnar, or you know, just having a deal with him where he's not even tested, nor can he be suspended for any type of drug test, you know, any type of drug issue, I think it's I think it would be foolish. If you're going to use him, use him. Don't punish him by having him lose, because really you're only punishing yourself. You're taking away a major player in Brock Lesnar, and not taking him away, but just certainly defining him down a little bit.
Absolutely. Justin, do you have anything else for us?
Sorry, okay, no, I missed that.
I'm sorry. I hate to be a hypocrite, but I did not understand what you said, Justin. Do you have I need you to speak up. It's more of a volume issue than an accent issue. I'm gonna go with that.
Right. Okay. I thought perhaps you wanted me to put on an American accent or something like that. You know. one other thing, if you've got the time, was Neville, for me, obviously being a Brit, is being totally underused at the moment. Do you think they'll put him in the cruiserweight division?
You know, I hope so. First of all, I think the cruiserweight division, for people to take it seriously, Jason, needs to have some people who have been portrayed as stars in the heavyweight division as undersized guys. Sami Zayn's too big for that. I mean, Sami's actually a pretty average-sized guy when he stands next to a lot of people who have main evented and been in the main event mix in WWE. Neville, though, yeah, I think he'd be a good one of the centerpiece acts in the cruiserweight division. My issue still with Neville, Jason, is just his charisma is just – he's so spectacular with his moves. But I just, as a babyface, there's something kind of awkward about the way he projects his personality. I'm not trying to be mean, but not everybody is as, you know, likable as Daniel Bryan, or you know, you get as behind their personality as Sami Zayn, or as quick-witted on the mic as Kevin Owens. I just, Neville, beyond the moves and a good body, I'm just not sold on him. I almost think he'd be better off as a heel. But in general, yeah, I think you put him in the cruiserweight division.
You know, mixed feelings on that. I'm with you totally on him as a babyface. Some of it, too, is the way he's been booked, where he really hasn't had a chance to establish his personality either. Basically, he stands around while other people tell jokes about his size or his ears, and he really doesn't respond to it. But, I mean, going back to his early run and his early days in the company, somebody whose opinion I respect really felt strongly that this guy should be a heel, that he's just got that Chris Benoit-like tenacity to him, and that would come out as a heel. The reason I have mixed feelings on him in the cruiserweight division is because they have taken so many shots at this guy. I'd rather see him on SmackDown. I think he could be in that upper mix. I'm not, you know, who knows what the creative team thinks of him over there. I think that they're starved enough for talent on the SmackDown side. They're making good use of the talent that they have, but I think a guy like Neville, they wouldn't have any choice but to feature him more prominently than he is on Raw, where because he's lost so many matches already as a heavyweight, you put him in the cruiserweight division, and he doesn't have to be your champion, but I just would feel like, all right, you've already established that, you know, the cruiserweights would all lose to the heavyweights, and granted, a lot of people are going to feel that way anyway. I just wouldn't do it with Neville right away, unless it is he just snaps and he's a heel of the division, and then we can talk.
Yeah, no, it's a great point, because you don't want the cruiserweight division to be the failures who tried their hand at heavyweight. That's the problem with Conor McGregor moving up a weight division against Nate Diaz, is if he loses twice to Nate, and he's the best in a smaller weight division, people look at him and go, well, yeah, he's the champion because he's fighting only smaller guys. And in the world of MMA, that's more accepted. I mean, it is understood. Hey, you move up a weight division, there's a better chance that you're not going to do well. And it's not really seen as this huge indictment on you. But still, Conor, it's better to leave people wondering if you're Conor McGregor, if you could even beat a light heavyweight, you know, light heavyweight contenders, as opposed to removing all doubt that you can't. And with Neville, they've sort
or if you could knock the head off of every guy in the WWE roster.
Well, there is that too. With Neville, I think if you're going to put him in the cruiserweight division, you put him on a win streak against an Eric Rowan type. You know, the two or three Eric Rowan type wrestlers on the roster. You get him on a hot streak. And whether he's heel or face, you give him some wins at heavyweight. So when he moves to cruiserweight, it's not because he couldn't hack it in heavyweight. Hey, Jason, are you a proponent of multiple exclamation marks at the end of sentences when you're excited about something?
Rarely. It takes something special. yeah, it's not something... I'm not even big on the exclamation point. It's a Will Pruitt thing at .net. You can always tell a Will Pruitt headline for an audio show. Will loves the exclamation point, and it just fits his personality, so I always leave it in for Will. But for others, I will edit it right out. I can't help myself.
So I saw today on ProWrestling.net a headline that you wrote with three exclamation marks. There must be something very special happening, Jason, that you should tell our listeners about.
Yeah, there absolutely is. What can you buy for a dollar these days? Not much. Well, we're going to do one better at ProWrestling.net. What can you buy for 50 cents these days? 1 month of ProWrestling.net membership is the answer to that question. We have a rare membership sale going on. We had one, WrestleMania, I believe, was the last time. We may do one more this year, maybe. You never quite know. It's been kind of a WrestleMania and SummerSlam week thing. And we've done the dollar special in the past, and I wanted to kind of... give our best pricing ever on this, and that's why we went with the 50-cent special. You can say the regular membership rate for 1 month of membership is $7.50, and in this case, we are bringing that price down to 50 cents. You can save $7 off of 1 month of .NET membership. There's no hook here, folks. All you have to do, if you enjoy your 50 cent for 1 month, cancel by the end of the month, you're gold. The membership rates for the 6 month and annual are also getting a $7 off special. So if you want to commit long term, you can save yourself some money that way. And we're making it nice and simple for you. One coupon code for all of these. Visit the main page of ProWrestling.net. Once you're there, you will see the sign-up area. And once you get in there, you're going to see those three different pricing options. All you have to do is enter the coupon code LIVECAST7, the number 7. It's all one big long word, LIVECAST7. And you will save $7 off of whatever membership option you choose. Again, 50 cents for 1 month of membership to the ad-free version of ProWrestling.net. I will have live coverage of all the major events this weekend, Ring of Honor on Friday night, NXT on Saturday night, SummerSlam on Sunday, and audio content available exclusively for the .NET members following each of those shows. Jake Barnett and I will get together on Sunday night to discuss the WWE SummerSlam show. I'll probably fly solo, not quite sure yet as far as NXT and Ring of Honor are concerned. And if Monday's Raw is any indication, you can count on those shows being 45 to 50 minutes in length if I'm flying solo. There's a lot of times when Jake Barnett and I get together that they approach 90 minutes for the WWE shows. We have audio reviews of all the major television shows, Raw, SmackDown, Impact, Ring of Honor. Zach Zimmerman does a hell of a job doing audio reviews of the WWE Cruiserweight Classic and the NXT television shows on a weekly basis. And so if you are into audio, and I assume you are if you were listening to this, know that there is a ton available exclusively for .NET members, and you can sample our entire history of audio. It's all right there for you. So sign up for 50 cents for 1 month at ProWrestling.net. Enjoy all the perks of ad-free membership, all of our audio content in history. The .NET Weekly audio show will be coming up on Friday. Will Pruitt and I get together. We'll be getting together for that. I rotate a guest host on the flagship show, and so it's Will this time, but some of the recent guests have included WWE Hall of Famer Jim Ross. I've also had Court Bauer, former WWE creative team. Most recently, I've had Krista Joseph, who is a former WWE creative team member and now is the co-executive producer of Lucha Underground, and get the guys on to talk about sometimes whatever's going on in their world, but also get them to talk about what's happening in today's pro wrestling. So again, 50 cents for 1 month of Reserve membership. It's the best price we've ever had, but you can also save $7 on those six-month or annual options if you choose. All the details available at ProWrestling.net. And one more thing, starting Sunday, ProWrestling.net Live returns with a SummerSlam special on Sunday afternoon, 2 Central, 3 Eastern. Zach Zimmerman and I will be taking your calls, a format very similar to this show. And then there will be shows on Monday and Tuesday. Times to be determined, but somewhere probably, you know, 3 Central, 4 Eastern. But on Sunday, 2 Central, 3 Eastern time, we will be taking your calls on NXT, Ring of Honor, and, of course, SummerSlam. That show will be available live at blogtalkradio.com/ProWrestlingDOTNET. And if you missed any of that, all the details available on ProWrestling.net.
I know one of the things that I enjoy about my .net membership, Jason, thank you very much, is the access to the ad-free mobile site. I've got that tab open on my Galaxy phone. On I default to Chrome on my Galaxy phone. That's my go-to browser. I've got this ad-free subscriber site. I hit refresh on that all the time when I'm not at my computer. And it looks great on the smartphone, and I love the ad-free. I mean, nobody likes ads, but ads pay for a good part of what you do for a living and a good part of what I do for a living. And I always get a kick out of it. Somebody yesterday emailed, and they're like, I don't like all the ads on your mobile site. And I was just like, you know, all right, well, you know, if you want, I can send you my bills directly, and you can pay them. or you can put up with some ads, or you can become a member. If you like what we do and you like the effort we put forth and you don't want ads, there's an answer, a nominal amount of money for, you know, PW Torch VIP and your membership to wipe away the ads. Not a lot of news organizations and sports organizations online offer that. That's kind of a, you know, I'm surprised in this environment that when newspapers want you to subscribe to their paper, that they don't offer an ad-free version. Hulu just did this. I mean, we've been doing this for a long time at The Torch. You've been doing it forever at .net. Hulu, now for a few extra bucks a month, you can get rid of the ads. I signed up immediately. I don't want to sit through ads when I'm binge-watching something on Hulu. So it is really cool.
Oh, that's one of the reasons I went with Netflix instead.
Exactly. Yeah, so it's sort of a VIP plug too, Jason. I'm not trying to glom on you, but we're not running a sale, so everyone should check out your thing for 50 cents, my God. And if nothing else, even if you don't want any of the audio, just having ad-free access on your mobile phone to everything that you do on the site, as comprehensive and as you are, and the work that you do, I think that's worth the price too. So there's my I try to just stay away from endorsing you because I don't want to hurt your business too much with one of my plugs. So like twice a year when you run a sale, I tout you a little bit. But I wanted to pinpoint that because I think that that's something I really value, just hitting refresh and having the ad-free listing of your mobile customized membership site. All right. We'll have you plug that one more time at the end of the show, just the coupon code for people who want that. But, of course, it's over at ProWrestling.net, too, the free site. Let's cut to a break. When we come back, we're just going to roll through calls in the time left on today's program. So give us a call, 646-721-9828. We expect to hear from UK callers because I want to see if Jason can understand you, first of all. Second of all, it's like Pat's dinner time now. It's 6:45 in the UK, so p.m., so it's a perfect time to give us a call and talk about not just Raw and SmackDown. You can talk about NXT, ROH, Evolve. Surprise us with a non-Raw and SmackDown topic or not. We'll take your Raw SmackDown call too. All right, here's a quick break. When we come back, more with Jason Paul from ProWrestling.net. I'm Wade Keller. This is our new midweek flagship edition of the PW Torch Livecast. And we'll be here every Wednesday from now on. So change your Google Calendar alert to 1 Eastern on Wednesdays. When you're looking to tune in live to the PW Torch Livecast, find out about the next episode, or just catch up on an episode you missed, go to our new website, pwtorchlivecast.com. You can select shows by specific day, specific host, and format, including a grid of our latest interviews and best of selections on the homepage. That is pwtorchlivecast.com, where you can stream our show live and listen to past shows on demand. That's pwtorchlivecast.com. All right, we're back. Jason Powell of ProWrestling.net is my co-host on today's episode, the midweek flagship of the PW Torch Livecast lineup. Tomorrow, interview Thursday with Matt Morgan. Friday, Bruce Mitchell and Travis Bryant back together for the Friday night edition, the end-of-week edition of the PW Torch Livecast, starting at 7 Eastern. And if you're not sure what that translates to, to in your part of the country, just look up a time translator on Google, and it'll tell you right away what time that starts. You can find all our shows at pwtorchlivecast.com. If you're looking to stream a show, it is mobile-friendly, desktop, laptop-friendly, pwtorchlivecast.com. If you want to look up a past show, if you want to look up quickly a past show by show type, like if you want to catch up on interviews, we have an interviews category. If you want to catch up on paper, post-pay-per-view call-in shows or a post-Raw call-in show, again, you can just tap the Monday show or Sunday show tab also on the menu. So it's a really organized way to kind of catch up on stuff you might have missed. But, of course, the live cast also available through every popular podcast app out there on Android and iOS. So you can not only stream them right from pwtorchlivecast.com, but you can subscribe in the Downcast app, in the default podcast app on iOS, on Instacast, on Beyond Pod, on Dogcatcher, on Stitcher, on and on and on. We appreciate your support. Jason Powell is with me as co-host this week, and we're going to go to another international call. If you heard a beep, it's you. State your name and where you're calling from.
Is this me?
Yes.
All right, it's Vince from Finland.
Excellent. All right, let's test your ability, Jason, to hear a Finnish accent.
Well, if I talk like a Finnish person, I would actually talk like this, which is very difficult. But yeah, I'm not going to do that for you.
Actually, that sounds like a northern Minnesota accent. So Jason and I might do okay with that.
Well, there's a lot of Finns up there, so
there are. Yeah.
Maybe that's why.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like I'm listening to Mika Koivu, so I'm okay so far.
Well, yeah, it's exactly that. It's what they taught us in school, and then everybody else tried to ignore right after getting out of school. So that's the accent.
Excellent. Yeah, go ahead.
Two quick topics, and I'll listen offline because I'm trying to get my baby girl to sleep here, and I don't know if she's interested in this stuff yet. First off, SmackDown post draft. There was a lot of talk of Raw getting all the good talent, and SmackDown is kind of with leftovers. But I really thought that, first of all, they didn't need a big roster. Sort of like NXT doesn't really have a lot of people they showcase, and I think they've done really good, especially Dolph Ziggler, for the past 3 weeks. They've addressed all the problems and they've made that his strength. So, I think SmackDown has been doing a really good job. And I was actually thinking that from the beginning, like, they don't need that many guys. Top five and then the rest, you know, they're fine. So that's number one. And then number two, with the announcers. And, you know, there was talk of who's going to take over for Corey Graves on NXT. But that really got me thinking, like, you guys dog on Byron a lot, like a lot. But who else is there? Like, there, I was really trying to think, like, they don't have anyone down the pipeline. Like, Byron really, he's one of the better ones available. Like, of course, there's Steve Corino and someone like that, but they're all under contract. Like, there's not color guys out there. And that's all I got.
All right, great. Appreciate the call. Jason, I really have to say, you are very guilty of dogging on Byron. I wish you'd be nicer to Byron.
Guilty as charged.
He's
but
a nice
I'm
guy.
I'm dogging on Byron.
How can you pick
I'm dogging
who's
on
nice.
Byron. Well, it's the character. It's what they asked this guy to do. He's Jonathan Coachman all over again. Go out there and do the Carlton dance and have that dumb sense of humor where you tell a crappy joke you know is crappy, and then you look into the camera and you flash the big grin. It's annoying. They kill his credibility. It's their fault, not his. And so as far as other commentators are concerned, though, the guy that jumps out at me if they need kind of a temporary fix is William Regal. Yeah, he is. And we see Nigel McGuinness play matchmaker for Ring of Honor and still sitting on the commentary, so it's not that big of a deal. But yeah, I would like to see them develop more broadcast team members in NXT. Graves is certainly the shining example of that working out so far, and I think they're trying to. Tom Phillips, I think, is going to, maybe, you know, we'll find out. He may get a little bit exposed without having Corey Graves there on commentary with him. I don't know when that kicks in. Triple H didn't indicate if it was, I'm guessing we might get Graves on Saturday, just because we know he'll be there and in Brooklyn anyway. And he really didn't have, he just said they're still trying to figure that out, basically. So hopefully we'll get one more show with Corey Graves. But then going forward, yeah, there's different wrestlers that I could say, well, maybe he'd be good, but you don't know until you get them in that position.
I'm a proponent of Jason Albert. I thought he did a nice job on NXT last year when he did some color commentary.
Sure.
Yeah.
I can't say I remember it, though, honestly. I'm struggling to think of how he did in that position. Was that when they were going with a three-man booth,
yeah,
and he just and Byron was part of it?
I believe so, but I remember thinking, oh, he's good. You know, I like normal Jason Albert, you know, and he's somebody who knows the wrestler's background. He knows them inside and out. That works. I agree with that on William Regal. I wouldn't say that because we don't know of others that there aren't others there. I know that on occasion they
right.
do tryouts with wrestlers doing color commentary. Sometimes somebody you think who would be good turns out not to be good. I remember that was the case with Arn Anderson. He cut these great promos in the 80s in the Four Horsemen and Tully and Arn, and then they gave him a run on color commentary, and he couldn't talk about anything other than building up his own match. That was it. I mean, it just, he didn't have a talent that translated. But Daniel Bryan has turned into this phenomenal color commentator, certainly in a very specific context, doing the Cruiserweight Classic. But I think he's great. So I just don't think you can say, well, you know, there's nobody else out there, so you have to put Byron there. But I would argue just subtract Byron. Just have a two-man booth. You know, I'm not concerned about that, about, well, if you take off if you take Byron off of Raw, then what? Well, then you have a two-man announce team, and you're better off. Corey Graves and Michael Cole would be better
for
off.
Sure.
So, I mean, you know, Byron is the master at stating the obvious, but having a tone to him that makes it seem like he just said something profound, which I've sort of have a I have this weird I'm starting to like look forward to Byron saying things. I'm amused by it, but it's for the wrong reasons. So for my own amusement, that's not a good reason to keep him around because I don't think he's particularly adding to things. I thought on SmackDown there was a situation that called for the announcers, the babyface announcers, Mauro and David Otunga, to lash out at Baron Corbin. And I talked about this with Pat yesterday. And after Baron Corbin beats up Kalisto, JBL goes, well, love him or hate him. You know, he sure knows how to assert himself. And then Mauro and David are, you know, directed. I'm not blaming them. They're doing what they're told through the headset. They just pivot to promoting something else. And I was like, how is Baron Corbin supposed to get over as a heel, Jason, if when he acts like this bully beating up this Kalisto, which is a nice enough angle. It sets up the babyface heat, the comeback, the cheers when Kalisto starts making Baron Corbin back off and beats him up into the corner. I mean, that's good psychology. But the announcers have to do their part. And it seems like WWE doesn't get that it undercuts Mauro and Otunga's credibility to watch that happen and act like they just watched, you know, a regular standard babyface interview that Renee Young conducted with Neville. Like they had no emotional reaction to it. So it's sometimes with a commentary, the problem isn't the person, it's how they're being produced.
That is kind of the weakness of Mauro's game right now. And I think it is the fact that he's being produced in this manner. I think that Vince and whoever else is producing the commentators these days look at it as it's the job of the third man, if anyone's going to do it, to get in there and bicker with the heel color commentator. And I strongly disagree. I mean, I don't think you need a third guy, but I think it helps the play-by-play voice's credibility. Mauro is great at calling the action. People like him for that. Now put him in position where he can become that trusted voice, where he is going to stand up for what's right. And yeah, I don't know that it's in their makeup to do that. It just seems like they have this weird formula for what the three-man booth is all about, and that is not included.
All right, we have an increasingly long line of callers waiting to join the show, so I will withhold my follow-up questions on that topic, and we'll go to more calls. And we'll begin with Eric.
I hope they're all from Finland. That was easy.
That was easy. 614, you're up next. Please state your name and what your dialect is.
Hi, Wade. This is Rob from Ohio. I'm speaking English.
Sounds good. I threw you off with that.
Hear
one.
Me okay?
Yeah, we sure can. What part of Ohio are you calling from?
In Delaware, just north of Columbus.
Oh, okay. Sounds good. Yep. Cool.
You're not very excited about that, Wade.
Well, you know, I mean, well, there's not an NFL team. There's not an NFL team there. They're just a hockey team. So, you know,
it's Buckeye country. How's that?
Oh yeah,
my limited college football knowledge.
Yes.
Well, first time caller here, and as long as y'all have been doing this, relatively new listener. So, and not being a cable owner or a watcher of Hulu, your show is the only way I've been able to catch up with the Raw and SmackDown. So, thank you for that service.
Absolutely. Glad you called us today. At least so far.
Sure.
At least so far, Rob. We'll let you know how you do after the call.
Okay, thank you. Thank you.
Yeah.
Well, my call today is about the primetime players. I was a long-time watcher of wrestling as a kid and up through the Attitude Era and then had stepped away for a while until a couple years ago. So I didn't see their first stint through NXT or anything. And when they popped up, I was just really impressed by their strengths, their performances in the ring, and thought they'd be prime material for championships, and that came and went a lot faster than I would have thought. So I'm kind of wondering what your thoughts are on why they disappeared. Is it just more of a single thing that they were trying to go into, and I don't think that's turned out to be much of a success. If so, do you think WWE might go back to utilizing them now that they made that presumably one-off return? And then just to tie that in a little bit with a caller in the last week or two who was talking about how he was dismayed and disappointed that the New Day was more or less the representative of the black man, just because they were a goofy act, and possibly with maybe the exception of the name of the primetime players, where player is perhaps what everyone presumes the word player means. Maybe if that was not a part of it, could they represent the black man and the fan base in a way coming forward in the future here?
All right, good. Jason, I'll throw to you first. I have some thoughts on what Rob brought up.
Yeah, I think the best way to do it is just to not worry about what color they are. Honestly, I think they're afraid almost of having like a threatening black heel, it seems. Titus O'Neil is the closest we have to it right now. I think they go very non-threatening with Byron Saxton. New Day is all fun and games. Apollo Crews is all smiles. And I don't know if it's by design or if it's coincidence, but that's the thing that jumps out at me is just quit worrying about what color they are and push them like you'd push anyone else.
Yeah, and as far as their push goes, I mean, I think when you watch Darren Young and Titus O'Neil wrestle each other, I think there's sometimes experienced wrestlers, Triple H, heck, Vince McMahon even, but especially experienced wrestlers, the veterans, retired guys watching, producers, they see stuff that the average viewer at home doesn't see. It's sort of like somebody emailed me and mentioned this in relation to something else, where if you watch, if there's a rock concert and you go to a concert and then halfway into the show or at the end of the show, the leader, band leader says, the lead singer says, sorry, we screwed up so bad today. We were way off. We were, you know, our beat was off. We hit the wrong notes. It was just, I really apologize. It takes away from enjoying the concert if you didn't notice, because chances are you didn't notice what they themselves noticed. And that is the case with wrestling, too. Sometimes wrestlers are doing things that an experienced wrestler who's been in the ring looks at and goes, oh, God. You know, that just, you know, he's like somebody's telling me, I was texting a retired, experienced wrestler last night about Alberto Del Rio during SmackDown, and he was just saying Alberto just doesn't hear the crowd. And it's kind of a wrestling term for, do you react to the crowd, or do you just kind of do your thing and hope the crowd comes along with you? And his critique of Del Rio is, well, no, he just kind of does his thing. He milks the crowd whether they're into him or not, and sometimes it exposes him as not having a crowd reaction. Basically, my observation to introduce that conversation, to divert more from the original point here, is Del Rio seems like he's always wrestling in front of a crowd in Mexico that hates his guts, instead of a WWE audience that he needs to win over to care more about him. And the pacing of the match sometimes, I think, hurts his babyface opponents because they have to lay around for so long as Del Rio takes his own sweet time to do his next move. So there's things wrestlers observe. With the primetime players, getting back to them, Darren Young against Titus O'Neil, Jason, exposed both of them, mostly Titus. It was clumsy. The timing was bad. It was awful. And there are things about Titus and Darren, again, I'll say especially Titus, that I think management looks at and says, it just doesn't have it. You know, he's not a top-level main event worker. So you can hide that for the most part in the tag team division if Darren Young's carrying the match. I mean, we saw that, you know, with Adrian Adonis and Jesse Ventura back in the day in the early 80s, the East-West connection. You know, Jesse did very limited things, but he was a great personality. And Adrian was this great worker who took all the bumps and worked the majority of the match, but it worked. I think Titus O'Neil is best in a tag team situation. I think they could have protected the primetime players more, but the more I see of Titus, the more I kind of realize why they decided, both in terms of his judgment, his demeanor, you know, just kind of being a little bit too much of a goofball and didn't have that real serious mode to him, combined with a little bit of a clumsiness in the ring. I mean, I'm not trying to bury them because I was a proponent of Titus getting a bigger push. I'm a proponent, Jason, of even if you can pick apart weaknesses, the audience doesn't necessarily see them. Get 6 months out of them. You know, push Titus when he first got hot, push him to the top, and then have him get beat down, and then he doesn't stay at the top. That's fine. Every time someone goes in a main event, it doesn't mean that they're part of a 5-year commitment to be main eventers. But, yeah, I think they're a good case study for why some guys who fans might like the personality of, they just, management looks at them and says, we have better places to invest our TV time, and we don't want to sacrifice other wrestlers to these guys.
Can we at least flip-flop and have Titus O'Neil be the babyface in that feud?
Yeah.
People like him.
I know.
Darren Young gets no reaction whatsoever.
I know. I mean, the Backlund thing is just awkward. You know, Bob's kind of an awkward personality, and he was, you know, the headline guy so long ago. I mean, going on 40 years. It's not something that I think is. I mean, it drew more attention to Darren Young, and Bob is kind of interesting to watch because you wonder, you know, what's he going to do next? But I don't know what they had in mind for it and where it's going. You know, they bumped into each other and hit it off at a charity event, and for some reason they decided to turn it into an on-air angle. I got to see how it plays out before I judge whether it was a smart use of TV time. A previous caller, Jason, had mentioned the depth on SmackDown and how you only need, you know, 4 or 5 guys to really fill a show. I am trying to take notes on what callers ask about and then crossing them out as we cover them so I don't leave topics behind as we stray off. As far as that goes, how have you felt post-draft, Jason, Raw and SmackDown have fared as far as roster depth goes?
Raw clearly is the deeper roster. SmackDown is making better use of their roster. Raw is, other than premiere week after the draft, you know, when Raw really wowed us, I think SmackDown's been the better show. I've enjoyed watching it more. It may not have the potential to be a real hot show. I just don't know that they have enough talent to pull that off or key talent to pull that off. You're going to have to save pretty much everything you have for their pay-per-views. And, I mean, and once you get through John Cena and AJ Styles, then what? I'm not really excited about what they have on top. I would like to see them add some talent. I get the idea that it's a 2-hour show, but I don't think it needs to be as lopsided, especially with the cruiserweights coming to Raw. I assume sometime in September, once the Classic finishes its run on the network, I would really like to see guys like Neville or Sami Zayn, who doesn't even have a SummerSlam match. I think Kevin Owens would do wonders. You know, he's doing fine on Raw. He's in a fun tag team thing with Chris Jericho right now, but Kevin Owens could be tearing up SmackDown, and I'm really surprised that we didn't see a couple of those guys moved over to the SmackDown side as part of the draft, and I hope we will. I think you do need more talent in that main event mix. I'm not looking forward to John Cena or Randy Orton facing Bray Wyatt. I just feel like we've kind of been there, especially with John Cena. And, yeah, I mean, they have decent matchups now, but what happens 6 months down the road? You know, what fresh matchups are you looking at?
That's the key, Jason. How do they do the first month? Well, if you only have 4 guys who people care about, you pair them off into 2 feuds, and you can carry a show with those as the 2 main event feuds and some undercard matches. And now start the music. They switch chairs, turn off the music. Now we got 2 new feuds. And then you better, in the meantime, have been building up new stars. And that's why we won't know till November or December where the brand split, where the depth really is. The first go-round isn't defining whether there is enough depth or not. There's always enough depth to do one round of feuds. Now when you have to reshuffle the chairs, how does that work? You know, does Randy Orton, Bray Wyatt, AJ Styles against Dean Ambrose? Okay, that's pretty good, you know, if that's where they go. But again, it's kind of that second and third round that matters most. Don't forget, we have a VIP membership. You can get full information at pwtorch.com/govip. That's pwtorch.com/govip. We have a free app. Just search PW Torch in the App Store on Android or iOS, Apple, and download our free app. It's got links that takes you directly to the PW Torch livecast page, the PW Torch VIP audio page, the mobile-friendly listing of all the latest articles, and the ad-free VIP listing of all the latest articles, along with some subcategories that are just one click away if you're looking for particular categories of audio or articles. So download that. Same thing for MMATorch.com. Big weekend with USC 202 on Saturday. USC 203 featuring CM Punk. That's going to be fun to talk about, Jason. I hope that fight happens. I am going to have an adrenaline rush seeing CM Punk walk out to that octagon. I'm a little more fearful for him than I was Brock Lesnar, although there were times I was, you know, worried about Brock, just not knowing how he'd do against stiffer competition. Not that I was rooting for him, but still worried that it would be really lopsided. And with Punk, I do worry about that. First things first, download the MMA Torch app or visit MMATorch.com on your desktop or laptop or mobile browser to keep up on live coverage Saturday night of that Conor McGregor-Nate Diaz fight and a good undercard, and get yourself ready for it with all of our preview articles at MMATorch.com. Every day there's going to be new things, adding new perspective, new things to look for, new insights. You can impress your buddies who are coming over to watch it with you or whose house you're going over to watch it with. You'll know more, even if you're not a hardcore fan, if you visit MMATorch.com and brush up on some facts. We do daily trivia, daily top five lists, daily flashbacks from 5 and 10 years ago, plus lots of points of view, editorials, and all the top news stories. So check that out. We're going to go to our third break a little bit later than usual. We usually do that after about an hour. We'll go to our third break. When we come back, we'll wrap up the show with as many phone calls as we can fit in. So if you're on hold, hold tight. We will get to you right after this message. If you're a fan of the PW Torch livecast, you might want to consider a PW Torch VIP membership. When you do that, you get access to an exclusive RSS feed of not only ad-free, plug-free versions of every single PW Torch livecast, but also over 50 other VIP exclusive podcasts per month, including the Every Single Day Wade Keller Hotline. I also host three other flagship VIP exclusive podcasts: The Midweek Fix with Todd Martin, The Weekend Bruce Mitchell Audio Show, each about 2 hours in length, and the post pay-per-view roundtables with the 1 hour analysis of every WWE pay-per-view and some other ones too. Also, ad-free access to pwtorchvip.com. And that is mobile-friendly and PC and desktop-friendly. And also access to almost three decades of the Pro Wrestling Torch newsletter, dating back to the late 1980s, over 1,400 back issues, with my pay-per-view reports on every single pay-per-view match since the late 1980s, with star ratings and match descriptions, roundtable reviews from the staff on every pay-per-view, cover stories on the biggest story every single week in pro wrestling, march through them as a VIP member 1 week at a time, read our exclusive Torch Talks with pro wrestling's biggest names, hard-hitting editorials, backstage tidbits you will not hear anywhere else, and much more. It's all available. Check out details at pwtorch.com/govip. That's pwtorch.com/govip. Exclusive podcasts, exclusive new newsletters every week, ad-free access to our website, and access to 28-plus years of archives. It's all waiting for you if you go VIP. Find out more details, a checklist of all the benefits of being a VIP member, along with testimonials from current members and a sign-up form that's mobile-friendly. Takes about 90 seconds to sign up. Go check it out today, pwtorch.com/govip. Really easy way you can support the PW Torch livecast is if you are an Amazon shopper, don't type in AMAZ. Stop right there and instead go to PWTORCH.com. That's PWTorch.com/Amazon. Click on the US or UK link and shop as usual. It'll take you right to the Amazon homepage. But by taking a detour through PWTorch.com/Amazon, we get a commission for everything you buy on that shopping trip. You can then bookmark that page, and every time you go to Amazon, every time you shop at Amazon, go to that bookmark, and we'll get a commission on it. It's a way to throw a few quarters, a few nickels, a few pennies, and maybe a dollar bill here and there into our tip jar if you like what we do here. We appreciate those who are already doing it, and we invite all of you who shop at Amazon to join them. All right, Jason Powell from ProWrestling.net is my guest, and we are taking phone calls. So many people on hold. We're going to get to as many of you as we can. Up next, area code 902. Please state your name and where you're calling from.
Hey, I'm calling from Nova Scotia, Canada.
All right, very good. What's your first name?
It's Glenn.
Glenn. All right, great. Thanks. Thanks for calling, Glenn. We are all over the country, all over the globe today. What have you got for us?
I'm just wondering what you guys think the follow is going to be from this Alberto Del Rio suspension. I heard he was already on his way out, but is this really going to get him out of WWE now?
Jason, yeah, it doesn't. WWE seems to have been not super behind Del Rio from the time he showed up, and I know there's things about Del Rio's personality that turn off management. There's a slice of that that I like. I like that there's a wrestler who doesn't walk in the locker room and immediately go to Stephanie and go, thank you for keeping me from unemployed homelessness. This is my dream, and I thank you for McMahon's for making my dream come true. And, oh, it's just all the stuff that you hear. And I understand at some point in your life, you know, you just – that makes sense. You know, you aspire to make it. So many people want that spot. But there comes a point where you got to be a man. You got to be a woman. You got to be a grown-up. And you have to act like, hey – I'm providing a service to you with my time and my body and putting myself at risk, and there's other things I could be doing, and you're hiring me because you think I can help you make money. So let's not pretend that this is some big charity case and that without you, I'd be lost. And you know, they tell that story with Big Show. That's not the story of most wrestlers. It's certainly not Del Rio's story. And he kind of lets management know that. You know, I mean, there's something I admire about that, you know, Stan Hansen attitude towards Vern Gagne, Bruiser Brody's attitude towards every promoter he worked for. It's like, I'll do just fine with or without you. So let's treat me like I'm your equal. And not every wrestler acts that way. And Del Rio does. So there's a little bit of that, but there's some negative stuff, too, in terms of the way he carries himself and his attitude that can kind of rub people the wrong way that might not be necessary. But, Jason, it does seem like they more wanted him to keep him away from other people more than they wanted him because they were ready to really make money with him. So this suspension, getting to Glenn's question, Jason, the suspension could perhaps lead to an agreement to part ways. I mean, that wouldn't shock me.
You know, if they don't have any plans for him, why not at this point? I mean, he's just been spinning his wheels there. And I mean, who knows, though? I don't know what his relationship is with Paige, how serious they are, if she also wants out. I mean, it's just this has been building up for a little bit, and I wouldn't be surprised if, yeah, I mean, whenever his deal is up, if he kind of goes back and tries to do things outside the company again. He had some success last time. Landscape has changed. You know, it doesn't mean that he's not going to do as well, but I guess it just depends on how much money AAA or CMLL would be willing to spend on him. Lucha Underground again, and they already have a season in the can, though. And then Ring of Honor, would they be willing to bring him back? And you know, I would think he would have options in Japan, too, if he wanted it, if he wanted to pursue that. So I think he can do okay, but Wade, do you think he'll do as well the second time around?
I guess so. I mean, so, as we've seen with his push in WWE, so much is dependent upon the promoter and the booker being excited about you and then having the right opponent. But I don't see any reason that it would be that there'd be any handicap against him doing better the second time around. Okay, I'm going to keep the pace up in our final segment here a little bit. I do want to note I'll be on the Steve Austin show on Tuesday discussing SummerSlam with Steve Austin. So I'll be back on the Steve Austin show next Tuesday. We'll record that on Wednesday. It'll go live basically at midnight on Monday. So hit refresh on your podcast feed if you subscribe to the Stone Cold Podcast. Excuse me, the Steve Austin Show. The Stone Cold Podcast is a WWE Network name. But the Steve Austin Show from podcast.
The one where Dean Ambrose acts weird.
Yes. We'll talk about that, I think. But let's get to callers. We've got some people who've been on hold a while. Let's go to 951 next. 951, thanks for calling. Please state your name and the city you're calling from and your dialect that we should prepare for.
Hey, Wayne, this is Mike from SoCal. How's it going today, guys?
Sounds good. Thanks for calling. What do you got for us?
Yeah, Yeah, Wade. Jason, by the way, I always love when you guys pair up together. I always make it a point to call in when you guys are on the line and I have time. I have a quick question for you. First, a comment on your VIP Kevin hotline. I didn't watch the Ambrose interview until I watched your review.
Yeah.
Much like the guy who you retweeted last week, I found it absolutely bizarre. I love Dean Ambrose, always loved Dean Ambrose, will still like Dean Ambrose, but that interview was just... It was very awkward to say the least, as I'm sure you guys have touched on. And my next question, actually my only question is, with the continued hype, you know, the video packages about the Cruiserweights coming to Raw, with the Cruiserweight Classic obviously feeding in some of those guys, I asked you a question recently, Wade, you touched on about Austin Aries being built around, on your Killer Hotline, Austin Aries, Jason being built around as, you know, the one of the future players. Obviously, you have Neville on Raw. What are the odds, do you think, about WWE bringing in someone like Rey Mysterio back to, you know, really be a big name to put atop the Cruiserweight division with an Austin Aries, with a Neville, and really showcase the division built around stars rather than just flippy guys? And yeah. I'm waiting in the parking lot, so I'm going to have to just listen to Al off the air. But thanks for everything you do, Wade. Love everything you do, Jason. I enjoy you as well. You guys have a blessed day.
Excellent. Thanks, Mike. Yeah, I think the Cruiserweight division launch, the talent that they include at the beginning, Jason, is important. And it can't just be, hey, let's introduce you to 20 new guys or 12 new guys who all look like they're 25 years old and they're all tall and thin and they all are just grateful to have jobs. They've toiled for somebody like Triple H to finally give them a paycheck so they don't have to sleep on each other's floors. And now you're going to watch a bunch of guys who would be homeless otherwise but are really good athletes fight for a title that has no history. That can't be the story. So they need to treat the Cruiserweights like they treat everything else as the foundation, and then the icing on the cake is, oh yeah, they now have a division where they can work at each other's speed and hit each other and take each other's moves at a pace that's more point guard and less center, that's more running back and less offense defensive tackle. So that can be the icing on the cake, but it shouldn't be the foundation. It should be about heels and baby faces, a title that matters, and WWE creating a reason for us to be invested in seeing somebody win or lose. And that can't just be all a bunch of guys with swimmers' bodies doing flippy-flops, as Mike said. So, Jason, I don't mind. I like Austin Aries as a centerpiece heel in that division. I like Neville after a win streak in the heavyweights going there. I don't mind Rey Mysterio coming back, although... You know, what does Rey have left in the tank? And are you, you know, I don't know that I'd want Rey to be the centerpiece for the long term, but maybe to come back to have a storyline, you know, a short-term storyline with Aries or Neville, if either of them were a top heel. That I would give a thumbs up to if it was like a two-month program. I think Rey's days are behind him of being able to wrestle in a style that would make the Cruiserweight stand out. And I do think that don't talk a lot about it. Just let the wrestlers show what they can do. But you want guys who are in their 20s and 30s who can still go. Rey's got so much mileage on that body. It's just limited what he can do. He can still have a good match, a really good match now and then. But he's not the every week standout centerpiece of a new division. I think it should be based around youth, not pulling somebody from the Monday Night War era and building around him.
I'm totally with you on that. I think you can get some mileage out of Rey, not as the centerpiece, but as kind of the guy who is there to add a little star power to the division, kind of be the legend of the division, and almost endorse the top baby face of the division. I would use guys like, I guess, Aries and I guess Rey even to some extent to elevate a star, yeah. Help create a star. Whether it's Kota Ibushi or someone else. I mean, Ibushi, I think, is a guy that could really jump out in a big way. But I don't make them the centerpiece. I don't even know that Neville at this point can make a star because he's lost so many times on WWE television. I feel like it's a big deal. But if it's Aries, there's some familiarity there. And even if you don't know Austin Aries, he can make you dislike him quickly. And so I feel like those guys could be key in helping get someone over. And with Aries, I think he can be a prominent part of the division. I wouldn't make him the first champion just because there's some baggage there. There's some TNA history there. there. But I have him in that upper mix, and I wouldn't be afraid to put the title on him somewhere down the road once he's established. I guess the thing I would really love to see, and this I know it's a pipe dream, Wade, but I would love to see the cruiserweights positioned strongly enough where they're not chokeslammed by Big Show. They're not lining up and being chokeslammed by Big Show for no reason, but actually pushed, and stars are created, and they take over the first hour of Raw, and it's accepted. People look forward to that, and then you just have your basically a two-hour Raw show with the heavyweights.
Yeah, I think you could do that. The only negative that I think of as far as that goes is just the positioning of it in the first hour might translate to the way that the kickoff shows for pay-per-views are. The preliminary guys warming up the crowd. I've been critical of TNA starting the show with X Division title matches because, well, we want to get the crowd into the show. Well, no, you should.
Oh, see, that's different. That's a bunch of flip-flop crap.
Right. No, if you do your, and I'll get to the positive of how my first inclination is what I'm explaining, but then I think, well, if you do it right, and I'll get to that in a second, it can definitely work. I'm not disqualifying the notion because there's some real positives. But with the X Division, the argument is, oh, we got to get the crowd off, get them excited. It's like, no, you should have done a good enough job as a booker and promoter getting people anticipating and rooting for somebody in the X Division to win and somebody that they're rooting against, who they don't want to see win, fighting for a championship or something at stake that matters, where it would be ridiculous to put it on first. If you do your job in the X Division, the X Division championship going on first should be like Undertaker's streak match against Brock Lesnar going on first at a WrestleMania. It's an exaggeration right, for the sake of making the point, but that would have been ludicrous. Oh, we want to get the crowd warmed up. We know they'll react to Undertaker. Well, right, but it's a main event. You don't put the main event on first. You don't put the semi-main event on first. So that's my concern, and that's my criticism of TNA and the X Division. They never, ever, ever approach it the right way once they got past the initial couple years where Jerry Jarrett knew what he was doing. He had a vision for it, and it was Jerry Lynn and AJ Styles, and it would headline shows, and it was treated as an equal of the Ron the Truth Killings, R-Truth era, or the Ken Shamrock era of the heavyweight championship. So if you make it the first hour, it has to be promoted in all the right ways where it feels like within that hour they're creating stars who people want to watch, and that it isn't just about, oh, we're warming up the crowd, that it has to feel like a self-contained division where you have a Conor McGregor type who people are really into, a Nick Diaz or a Nate Diaz, well, either of them, a Nate Diaz type character where people really are interested in his personality and are invested in his matches. So if they do that, that alleviates a lot of issues with the with Raw seeming so long, because it's sort of like Nitro back in the day, Jason. They would, in the midpoint of the show, they'd switch announcers. And this was when Raw was one hour and Nitro was 2 hours. Why did they switch announcers? A variety of reasons, but one of them was we want to. It's a 2 hours is a long time to sit and watch a wrestling show that isn't a pay-per-view that you've been anticipating for a month. So let's freshen up the voices on the show. And it was kind of this transition point in the middle of Nitro, whether it was two hours or 3 hours. At the midpoint, they switched announcers. So you'd kind of have that feeling of, not at the midpoint of Raw, but an hour into Raw, you would have that. You could also have it be soft, a soft hour, perhaps, so that the main event of the Cruiserweight hour might bleed over into the second hour, but the first hour of the traditional Raw too, so people tuning in would end up seeing, kind of the match. You don't want every cruiserweight match to end at exactly the top of the hour, so it's just predictable that this near fall won't be a pin, but this one probably will. You want to have a little flexibility as far as that goes.
Yeah, and I don't worry about it becoming what the X Division has become. I don't think it's going to be all, spot fest galore and, just a bunch of random, six-way matches and things like that.
Yeah.
If the current people in charge of the Cruiserweight Classic have their say, I mean, you're seeing different styles. There's Dean Malenko types in there that can do the holds. That's the X Division Cruiserweight type of work that I enjoy. It's not just, I can enjoy a great spot fest too, but I want that spot fest to stand out and be special. And I think in order to do that, you need to have guys who work different styles. And I think we're seeing that in the Cruiserweight. It's not ready. I wouldn't say the Cruiserweight Classic is ready for primetime at this point. I don't know that the Raw audience is going to want to see a bunch of guys doing handshakes left and right. It would feel a little out of place on the Raw show. But I do feel like they have there's enough talent there to certainly have a strong division if they can get all these guys under contract, or the right guys under contract.
Sounds good. All right, up next, we'll go to area code 651. 651, please state your name and the city you're calling from.
Hey, this is Rob. I'm calling all the way from Eagan, Minnesota.
Hey, Rob. Thanks for calling. I think I can hear you out my
window. I can't understand you, Rob.
What's that?
Well, I just said I can't understand you, Rob. It's the accent.
I'm speaking certified G. How you doing?
Good. That's better.
Okay. I had a question for you about the women's division over on SmackDown. I'm a huge mark for Natalya. I actually even designed one of her outfits that she wore a couple years ago, and I still do artwork for her regularly, so I had a name drop, of course. But I think she's always given 100% with a lot of crappy storylines that they've given her, and I think it's refreshing to see her kind of take a heel role. And do you think now that eventually they're going to be giving a new women's title in the SmackDown brand, that Natalya actually will have a chance to carry some gold, because if anybody in the locker room's earned it, I think she has.
Jason, I think so. I think she could be a SmackDown champion. I don't necessarily have her in my top two, but I wouldn't rule it out.
Okay.
Yeah, Jason, where do you think she'll fit in?
Seeing is believing. I hate to say it. I'm with you guys. I'd like to see her. When she turned heel, I was very optimistic. I'm like, cool, you know, maybe she'll be a better promo in this regard. They didn't do a good job with her. She just kind of trades wins and losses, and really lately she's been losing more than she wins. She doesn't mean what she should. I think there's something to tap into there. I think we saw how effective she can be when she went down to NXT especially and really shined there. And if they can actually spotlight her, give her a consistent push, I feel like you can put her in that heel women's championship role, or even somewhere down the road when she turns babyface again, kind of that veteran finally getting that big moment type of thing. But I'm not seeing it from their booking. She just kind of feels like she's another body in the division that values her to help make some of the other talent look good, but I think that's her role.
Did you watch Talking Smack last night after SmackDown, Jason? I know she was on for quite a while. I had it on in the
background.
Yeah, how was she on Talking Smack? Because I think she does better in a situation. I mean, she really is emotive. I had the mute button on because I was doing the post-SmackDown live cast, but she's very emotive, sometimes too much as far as acting goes. But I think when she just kind of gets in a groove, there's a sense of, and this is why I want to kind of get your take on this because you saw it, there's when she kind of gets into her character and her words get flowing, it's better than when she just has these memorized lines that she kind of over-emotes as she says them. How was she in the context of Talking Smack?
Gosh, I don't even remember her.
Okay.
I remember, you know, they had Naomi on, and she talked. I'm guessing that, you know, I'm not questioning that she was on there, but she didn't stand out, I got to admit. But I paid close attention to the Cena interview, and I was kind of distracted doing some work at the same time, so I just don't have any recollection of her being on there.
I withdraw my question then. I'm looking at your report, John Moore's report on ProWrestling.net, and Natalya joined the crew during the women's discussion, and
10 seconds.
She defended Eva Marie and said that she wanted a belt centered around the Queen of the Black Hearts. So she was putting her name in the hat.
Okay,
for
so
that.
She was being a heel and in character.
Yeah. Right. Well, and I think everybody's hopefully going to stay in character on Talking Smack. I think it's good practice for people to play out their character. I mean, the one acting class I took in college, you know, there was, you know, if you had a part in a play, there would be a time when you would practice being in character without a script, and you would practice staying in character and acting like your character would around the other characters, but without a script to kind of get into that zone. And Talking Smack can kind of be good in that way. It sounds like the show ended with Natalya and Becky bickering, and then Renee cutting them off. So anyway, but yeah, I mean, I don't think you build the whole division for 18 months around Natalya the way that I think you can Charlotte. But I think Natalya's good glue for whoever they bring in and add to the mix. And I think a heel Natalya against a babyface Asuka, or Asuka, as William Regal hilariously calls her, would work also. Speaking of dialects, Jason, I look forward to that feud. All right, let's...
I just want her...
Yeah?
Can they just position her as a stepping stone? You know, I mean, like, where she's at least meaningful enough that if you beat Natalya, it means something.
I know.
They don't do that with her.
That's a good point. I agree. All right, 317, you are up now. Please state your name and where you're calling from.
This is Jack from Indianapolis.
Jack, good to hear from you. What's on your mind today? What have you got for us?
Well, first, I just want to put you both over. You two are the best 1-2 punch in wrestling coverage today. I just want to let you both know that. I really enjoy your coverage.
Appreciate it.
I got two questions. Question number one, that new beautiful stadium in Minnesota, how long do you think before you get a WrestleMania there?
A couple years, Jason. I think we'll get it within a couple years.
Yeah, I hope so.
I don't think we kissed ass enough, you know? We're like, we got a cool stadium.
Well, it sounds like there may have been some financial thing.
Oh, okay.
That's been kind of the buzz on this, is that because we were expected to get the WrestleMania that's coming up, mm-hmm. and then all of a sudden, I mean, even like a high-ranking Viking official kind of let the cat out of the bag, and it turned out that, no, we're not getting it at the new Viking Stadium. The guy who is running the stadium, like the head of the stadium, has a WWE background,
yeah.
and I certainly thought that would help, and everything pointed in that direction, and then they changed course, and the buzz has kind of been that I think it was a tax dollar thing. They weren't willing to commit as much, and maybe that changes. I don't know, but I haven't heard anything directly from WWE. They're not commenting on that.
Yeah, I think it's tough to with the money spent to build that stadium and all the dates that are filled with so many things that they're doing. If WWE expects Minnesota to, you know, Minneapolis to grovel for a WrestleMania, it's not likely to happen. I think they really like Orlando because Orlando grovels. They love the tourism, and it's their identity. And so we'll see. I mean, obviously politics can play into it. They have in a lot of other ways with a lot of other cities. Jason, I want to wrap up the show on that note. Thanks to the callers, by the way. I started off thinking we wouldn't get callers. We only had one person on hold at the start of the show. DJ from Miami started filling up once I, you know, said, hey, we're on, and we're looking for calls, and we got a lot of new callers, so that's great. I'm looking forward to doing the shows at night now because I'll get to hear from some listeners who normally aren't able to listen to the shows that are airing live during the day that I host on Tuesdays and Thursdays, and now Wednesdays and Thursdays. So I look
forward to that. That's a weird late night bunch.
Yep. So we'll see how that goes. I'm excited about the new live cast format, and like I said, I'll be on with James Caldwell on Monday for the Raw post game show, and then next Tuesday with a co-host yet to be determined, and then next Wednesday for the midweek flagship. And by the way, not only will I be on the Steve Austin show next Tuesday, but scheduled for a week from tomorrow on Interview Thursday is the long-awaited return of Sean Waltman, X-Pac, to the program.
Nice.
Very, very much near the top of the list of my favorite interview subjects over the last 28 years. I think I did the first interview with him ever at KFAN's radio studios on Pro Wrestling Focus. And I got to say, it's kind of funny to listen back to it. Sean was so shy, so unsure of himself in public speaking. That's part of a VIP membership, too. You can listen to all those Pro Wrestling Focus radio shows I hosted in the early 90s with a lot of big-name guests. Jesse Ventura, Nick Bockwinkle. We had really good roundtables with journalists. Had WCW vice presidents on the program. But Sean Waltman, the early Sean Waltman interviews, is kind of comical. I hope he doesn't hear this and gets mad. No, he wouldn't. He's first to admit that. So he'll be on a week from Thursday, but Matt Morgan tomorrow. So I hope everybody will join me tomorrow, same place, same time. And again, thanks to the calls. Jason, do you have some time to do a VIP after show, or have you got to run and get back to working on your website?
Let's do it.
All right, so we're going to do a VIP after show. So that'll be available for a mere 50 cents, right, Jason?
That's right, 50 cents. Visit the main page of ProWrestling.net. Look for that sign-up area. Once you're in there, enter the coupon code LIVECAST7, all one word. You don't spell out 7, just to enter the number 7, and you will get 1 month of .NET membership for just 50 cents. If you want to save yourself some money on the six-month or annual membership, that is also an option. You're going to save $7 when you enter that coupon code and you select one of those. But again, all the details available. I am on the main page of ProWrestling.net, and if you have any questions, hit me up on Twitter at Pro Wrestling Net.
Excellent, Jason. Always good to talk to you. We'll talk to you on the other side of this music, both ProWrestling.net members and PW Torch VIP members will be able to hear our VIP after show when it gets posted later this afternoon. We'll talk about ROH. We'll talk about Damian Sandow's debut on Impact. We'll talk about Cody Rhodes and Evolve. We'll talk about Shinsuke against Samoa Joe in the NXT TakeOver lineup. We'll hit a lot of topics that we didn't get to on today's live cast. If you didn't get through and you were on the phone lines, call us tomorrow. We're going to continue this conversation with Matt Morgan as my guest. He's a really good analyst in wrestling in his post-wrestling days. He still follows the product closely. I really look forward to tomorrow's show. So join us for that. That'll do it for me. And you can follow me on Twitter, by the way, at The Wade Keller. At The Wade Keller. And you can also follow our brand at PW Torch. And I certainly invite you also to follow us at MMA Torch if you're a UFC fan. And if you're a VIP member, you can follow us at PW Torch VIP. Heck, you can follow us at PW Torch VIP even if you're not a VIP member, because we'll let you know what you're missing out on. That's a good sample of a lot of the VIP features. We put alerts up on that page. I did just last weekend put up a Wade Keller 900 number update. There were 900 numbers where you paid a dollar a minute or more in the 90s before everything on the internet was free and everybody felt entitled to everything for free. You had to pay a dollar a minute, although some people, Jason, thought 900 numbers were for free because they wouldn't pay their damn bill after they called. But I did a 900 number update on Bret Hart, and I broke the news of Bret Hart leaving the WWF, being kind of pushed out the door by Vince, and all the details on that. It was like close to a 20-minute 900 number update. We covered some notes on Brian Pillman's death in that update too. Somebody just recovered an audio cassette that they had recorded on their answering machine. Basically, back in the day, they recorded it. They wanted to record it so they could listen back to it. And they had a couple of the
play it for their friends.
They what? Oh, play it for the friends. Yeah, probably.
Play it for the friends.
Maybe. Yeah. So that he was kind enough to convert it to MP3, sent it to me, and I did some heavy editing of the sound. This was not high quality, pristine, the type of quality that people I think are used to these days on podcasts. But I did. I brought it up to very listenable quality with some heavy post-production work, and it's fascinating. And every day somebody new hears it who comments on Twitter about it. It was real. I loved it. I don't have any of them. I didn't record any of them, and I should have in retrospect, but that was fascinating. So that's another thing to look for with the PW Torch VIP membership. But this is about Jason Sale, ProWrestling.net, 50 cents, no excuse. Go do it. Show some love for Jason. Jason, thank you for your time here on the live cast. I always enjoy our conversations, and hopefully I enjoy the VIP after show just as much.
Hey, it's great to be back, and sorry, Brits. I still struggle with some of your accents.
All right. Until next time, on behalf of Jason Powell, Wade Keller signing off.